Good morning, Christ the Rock. My name is Ron Surgeon. I'm one of the elders here. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Today, I'm speaking on what it looks like to function as a member of CTR. Chris has spent the previous weeks talking about what it looks like to root down deep within the rhythms of our church. And I'm continuing that theme. Today's message in its entirety will be about missional communities. And though I'm speaking to everyone this morning, in particular, I'm speaking to missional communities that are part of CTR, that are an extension of CTR. And I'm also speaking to missional community leaders this morning. It's sort of like the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says that Jesus saw the crowds. He ascended to the hills, and when he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he spoke to them, saying, and this morning, though I'm addressing the crowd, in particular, I'm speaking to the missional communities, so everyone else is overhearing our conversation this morning. Before we get into the message, our text today would be Genesis chapter 12. But before we get into the message, I want to ask, how many in this room have financial goals? Almost everyone, right? What about health goals? What about career goals? We're declining. What about educational goals? Yeah. What about kingdom goals? God isn't less sovereign over your temporal goals than he is over your eternal goals. He isn't less sovereign over your domestic goals as he is over your spiritual goals. Most people shy away from setting spiritual goals because they say, well, God is in control over that and he'll guide it however he wills. But we set goals for everything else in life. Is he or isn't he less sovereign? He's not. He's not less sovereign over your career goals as he is over your missional community goals. So why not aim high at both? And let the chips fall where they may in his sovereign plan. So I'm asking you, as you dream big about your health, about your career, about your finances, and you set goals and you make steps to see those goals fulfilled, why not dream big about the kingdom of God? Why not set goals for that? MC leaders, missional communities. Let us dream big for God. Let us set goals for the kingdom. And you think about setting goals. You have something that you want to accomplish, right? You see, it's a big idea. So you write down the big idea, and then you formulate steps to see that big idea accomplished, right? And you may have an expiration date on that goal, right? Maybe you have an expiration date on your goals. You should, or you'll be aiming for it eternally. And let's do that for the kingdom of God. Let's dream big for the kingdom of God. Ask yourselves, How many other missional communities would we like to see birth by this time next year? How many people would we like to share with, share the gospel with, the good news with, by this time next year? How many people would we like to serve by this time next year? Or in the next month? Because usually when we set goals, we usually set long-term goals and short-term goals, correct? Let us be strategic for God. Let us dream big for God. Let us aim high for God. Let us set steps in order to reach the bigger goal, the bigger dream for God. And just as He's sovereign over your career path, your health path, your educational path, and you're aiming toward that, you're making steps to see those things coming to pass, He's just as sovereign over your spiritual path as you aim and set goals and make steps to see those things come to pass. He cares about both. He's able to perform both. And neither are insignificant in His eyes. So will you dream? Will you dream? So have this question in mind as we advance throughout the talk this morning. What would I like to see God accomplish through me and through our missional community? Ask yourself that. Because you have to know what you're after if you're going to be after it, right? So we want to begin with the end in mind. So as we advance throughout the talk today, there will be truths that can be applied to anyone at any time, anywhere. So be listening for those. We'll be in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, and I'll begin reading. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan." Amen. So to Abram, whose name means exalted father, Yahweh said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Notice that God does not call Abraham or Abram at this time to an ambiguous, obscure, vague, sacrificial life. He calls him to a sacrificial life, but it's not ambiguous. It's not obscure. It's not hidden. It's not unclear. It's not vague. It's precise. God knew exactly what he wanted Abraham to give up. God knew exactly what he wanted Abram to give up: his country, his kindred, and his father's house. The relinquishing of these things would result in Abram becoming a great nation. It would result in Abram being blessed and having a great name and becoming a blessing to bless others. We're blessed to be a blessing, right? So just as Abram, God knows precisely what he wants you and me to give up. Just as Abram, God knows precisely what he wants you and what he wants me to give up. So what is the Lord asking of you? What is the Lord asking of you. So reflect on that. God sends Abram out to a land that he didn't know. As he went, he would experience the blessing of God, the blessing of becoming a great nation, a blessing that will enable him to be a blessing and to see that extended to all the nations. But he had to leave his father's house. He had to leave his kindred and his country. What is the Lord asking of you? What is the Lord asking of me? Missional communities, what is the Lord asking of you that he may use your family to extend the blessing of Abraham to the nations? What is the Lord asking? God planned to multiply Abram's family in such a way that all the nations would be benefited eternally. Eternally. God said, go, and I will make you a great nation. Notice in verse 4, the text says, so Abram went as the Lord told him. Abram went as the Lord told him. How did Abram respond to the word of God? He obeyed. He responded in humility, with trust, and immediate obedience. He responded in humility, trust, and immediate obedience. Abram obeyed God, and Lot followed. When we lovingly, humbly live in obedience to the call of God, people will follow suit, like Lot did. This is how we lead. This is how leaders lead, by example. And that stunned me when I read this text. And I italicized that within my notes, as the Lord told him. Humble submission, trust, immediate obedience to the call of God. Abram obeyed. Lot was like, I'm going with him. And that's how we lead. Leaders lead by example. Notice this. Notice that Abram was 75 years old when God reconstructed his life around the promise of becoming a blessing to all the nations. 75 years of age. What does it say to you? What? It's never too late. Yay! It's never too late. It's never too late to have a life oriented around God and his plan to bless all people. It is never too late to have a life oriented around God and his plan to bless all people. It's never, ever too late. So whether you feel like it's too late because of moral dilemmas, the past, your health, or your age, I'm here to tell you that God is able to do far more than you can ask or think or imagine. He's able. God took this older man outside one day. You like that, don't you? And he says, look at the stars and count them if you're able. And God said to him, you will have more children than that. And the Bible says that Abram believed God. Therefore, God regarded him as righteous because he believed.
God says, look at the stars, Abram. In your old age, with no children, no one to carry on your name, almost hopeless. Look at the stars, Abram, and count them if you're able. You will have more children than that. The Bible says that Abram believed God, and God said, you're righteous because you believed me. Abram believed. Later, Yahweh changed his name to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. Abram believed. God changed his name before he even received the promise. God is all about changing people. So I want to ask you this morning, in regard to the promises of God, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you a believer in God for the daily? Not just for salvation, for every day. Abram had to believe God for the daily. One of my favorite professors in undergrad was a woman named Dr. Browning. She was immensely wise, a psychologist. She was gentle and very poetic. Dr. Browning prayed 35 years to see her dad come to faith in Jesus and give up living for himself and live for the pleasure of Christ. 35 years. Her dad came to faith in his 80s, began devouring the word, found a community of people to do life with, and began doing missions to Latin America at 80. It's never too late. So Abram obeyed the call of God with his family. The text tells us that he took Lot, his wife, all of his possessions, and everyone in his household. And God wants us to do mission with his family, the church, and within our context, missional communities. So if we're going to go out under the promises of God and the power of God with expectancy, let's go out as a family. Let's go out in the context of community. Now, I want to contrast going versus staying. Abraham's going and ours. The potential of Abraham staying and ours. So let's look at the chart on the screen. And let's look at the contrast between going and staying. So in going, we see that there is risk in going, right? There's risk. Risk is, I know it's going to cost me something, but I don't know what it will be. But I'm going to do it anyway. That's risk. Staying, there's stability. Everything's going to be okay. No one is rocking my boat. Sacrifice is, I know it's gonna cost me something, and I know exactly what it is. And I'm gonna do it anyway. The sacrifice. The Son of God left the abode in heaven, came to earth, knowing he would die. The sacrifice. He knew what it would cost him. He came. Staying, there's safety. No sacrifice, no cost. Going, for Abram, it was blessing. He says, leave your father's house, leave your country, your kindred, and notice the conjunction, and. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. And you will be blessed to be a blessing. So there's blessing in going. Abram's and ours. Jesus says, as you go and make disciples of all nations, he ends, Matthew 28, verse 20, and I will be with you. But staying, there's comfort. Minus the blessing. In going, there's hope, great expectation. But in staying, there's security. Doors locked. No exposure to anyone. But in going, there's adventure. You have all of these feelings mingled together at once. You're out to see God glorify himself. You're praying every time you get an opportunity because you depended upon him. It's an adventure. But when we stay, we find ourselves bored. Bored. You're not bored on mission. You're not. And if we stay, if Abram would have stayed, he would have been just like his daddy, just like everybody else in this town. Status quo. Who likes the status quo? We would become satisfied with being unsatisfied. That's the status quo. In going, there's change, right? Change is tough. Change is hard. But what about control? Nothing's hard about that. Everything remains static. That's what Abram would have had if he would have stayed at home. Control. But God said, go, and I will bless you. And he went, and he had to operate by faith. Fully dependent upon the word of God. Trusting in him. But staying, by nature of staying, implies unbelief. Unbelief. What does all of this remind you of, the staying part? What does it remind you of? Huh? The American dream. The American dream. You have to be asleep to believe it. Let's go with God in the context of community, engaging the lost, loving them, serving them, loving and serving one another in the process, overlapping our lives together because we're family, getting to know each other, loving one another, finding the people we want to invest our time and resources in, and then we go and do it. We hear their story. We share our story. We find out their needs. We meet their needs. We overlap our lives, and we eat together, and we do Christianity. Does anything about that sound hard? Not that, what I just said. Because this is tough. But God says, I'm with you. There's a blessing involved. And as a result, your life will become a blessing to all people. What he's going to do through you is going to be bigger than what he does with you, Abram. Yes, it's hard to believe that when you look in the sky, you see all of these millions of stars, that's going to be your offspring. Yes. And God gives you one son of promise, Isaac. Although he had Ishmael, Hebrews calls Isaac his only begotten. He was a son of promise. God gives him one. But look at Abram's offspring now. Good God. did it. And he'll do it with you. Mission communities. So what is God saying to you? And how will you respond? Ask yourselves that. What is God saying to me? And how will you respond? The question is for everyone, but directly to the missional communities and missional communities, missional community leaders and the missional communities. What is God saying to you, and how are you to respond? And for those who aren't involved, we want you, come, participate with us in seeing the gospel advance. Come. Come, help us. Come labor with us. Come be a part of this. Come and function as a member of CTR. So now let's look at the foundation for the mission of life. We'll be brief here. In community, what happens? Passions are shared. Values are shared. That happens in community. And it was out of community with the Father that the Spirit and the Son were sent into the world on mission. It was out of community with the Father that the Spirit and the Son were sent into the world on mission. Even so, we, empowered by God, loved by Him, rescued by Him, in the context of community, in the power of the Spirit, are sent into the world on mission. We make our home in the pains of the world. We who have God's ear, where the world stands in pain, we stand in prayer. We make our home in the pains of the world, just as the Father sent the Son and the Spirit into the world, into our pain. God sends us in the context of community, empowered by the Spirit, representing Jesus into the world in their pain. And where the world stands in pain, we who have the power of God, indwelt by the Spirit, we stand in prayer. We're spiritual people who are spiritually informed by the Bible, the Word of God. I was with one of my mentors the other day. Side note, may I see this? And he says, I was sitting in his house, and he says, I own this home. It's a nice house. I own this home. This is my home. But this is the greatest possession I have. He's an old man. He's in his 80s. And he said that. That struck me. I said, can I say that? Man, I have some repentance to do. He said, this is the greatest possession I have. God's word. God's word. So we are spiritually informed people, and we're informed by the Bible. Therefore, we barricade our lives against the consumerist mentality. We barricade our lives against the consumerist mentality. Timothy Clinton and Oschlager, they state this. The consumerist mentality allows a comfortable ride to nirvana and avoids the discomforts of sacrifice and suffering and struggle, which have been the foundation of spirituality nearly all of human history. Hugh Halter and Matt Smay assert, times of doubt, despair, frustration, and personal letdown are as much a part of the work of God in our lives as anything else. When challenged by financial stress, distress, health issues, broken relationships, or general melancholy, we tend to get much more serious, even desperate about hearing from God. During these times, we recognize our human frailty and the limited control over circumstances. When we allow God to work in our lives, our latent missional call begins to come alive. When we allow God to work in our lives, our latent missional call begins to come alive. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. Quit fighting. You were born for this. Apart from living this way, you will have no fulfillment. You will feel so empty. God says, come, let me bless you. But let me bless you in a family, in a community. Quit pushing back. Quit pushing him away. Embrace him. And in the pain, find yourselves joyful. Now, the consistent theme behind missional living is the ever-active abandonment of our selfish agendas for God's. The encouragement to function this way comes from not neglecting to meet together as the book of Hebrews instructs. We call the arena for living this way, we call the arena for receiving this kind of encouragement missional communities. The matrix for gospel advance. How do we have the encouragement to consistently abandon our selfish agendas for God? Community, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but gathering together. And we at CTR, we call the arena for receiving this kind of encouragement missional communities. It is the matrix for the advance of the gospel. It is the place where you come and you allow yourself to be shaped and grappled by the Holy Spirit. The matrix of gospel advance. Missional community is our church's primary structure. And within it, we learn to live out our Trinitarian identity. We learn to live out the identity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God is our Father. He adopted us into his family. Now we're family. So what do? We get to know one another. We get to love one another. The Son, he left his majestic throne in heaven, came to the earth, put on a body like ours, and the King came to serve. So what do? As a result of that, we become servants by embracing him by faith, and we begin to serve one another. And the Spirit, because of our faith in the one God and through his sacrifice in sending his holy and only Son, we have been empowered, filled with the Spirit. And God sends us as a people into the world full of him. So what do? As a result of that, as missionaries, not becoming missionaries, as missionaries, what do? We go out into the world and we meet the needs of those who are far from God, and we tell them why. We tell them the good news. As Spirit-empowered people, you're not becoming missionaries, you are. So stop saying I'm trying to become. We're not trying anymore. Jesus tried. and accomplished. It is done. If you're in Christ today and you're in this room, not a single one of you are without the identity of missionary. It is done. In missional community, we celebrate what the Father has saved us from and for. We celebrate that. And as missional communities, you know what? We obey the call to being faithful and fruitful. Yes, I did say fruitful. Why? Because the Bible says, John 15:5. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So we ask ourselves, we go back to the King and we say, God, are we abiding with you? Is our mission community abiding with you? Are we resting in your promises? Are we living according to your commands? Are we trusting you in your great gospel? And yes, it is he who keeps us faithful. And yes, it is he who makes us fruitful. But the call remains. God sends you to do what only he can do. That's the paradox of the Christian life. Acts 9, Paul is rescued by God. Ananias comes, heals him of the scabs over his eyes. He says, rise, be baptized. And then Paul gets up, he gets baptized, and Ananias says to him, you're going to suffer a whole lot for the name of the King. And you know what? God is sending you to open their eyes. Like, how am I going to open somebody's eyes? God sends us to do what only he can do. That's what that means. We can't open the eyes of people's hearts. God does that. But God says, I'm sending you to open their eyes. Come on. Look at the stars. Your offspring would be like that. Are you a believer this morning? So if we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. The Father is glorified by us bearing much fruit. We were appointed to go and bear much fruit, John 15:16. We see Jesus' desire for this is evident in the commission. Jesus, by the authority that governs heaven and earth, sends us not to attempt to make disciples of all nations, but to make disciples of all nations. Many times we tend to focus only on the therapeutic side of grace. Forgiveness of sins. Being accepted by God, being approved by him, being loved by God. But what about verses like 1 Corinthians 15:10? Write that down and think about it later. 1 Corinthians 15:10, where Paul says, the grace of God co-labored with me in such a way that I worked harder than everybody. What about texts like Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Write that down. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where it says, God's grace trains us to deny ungodliness. God's, the grace of God? What? Trains me? The grace of God trains us to deny ungodliness. I don't know what you hear when you hear that, but when I hear it, I hear power. The grace of God equips us to be and to do what God desires us to be and do. Hear that, missional communities. The grace of God equips us, empowers us, enables us to be and to do all that God desires us to be and do. Yes, there is a snuggly, cuddly side to grace. But there is also a warlike, strong, powerful, in the trenches, armed to the teeth, obstacle overcoming side to grace. In missional community, we experience both sides of grace, of the grace of God. Missional communities are messy. Messy grace. People screwing up, they need the therapeutic side of grace. People pushing back on mission, they need the warlike side of grace. Let me show you a picture of how missional communities grow. On the left side, this is what people think it looks like. Just highway to heaven. I like that. But that's not real life. That's not life. This is how it grows. It's like, are we getting anywhere? So let's be realistic about this thing. It's going to be messy. But you're messy. I'm messy. It's okay. Let's get in this thing and hammer it out. And let's cultivate the environment that we're dreaming for. How easy it is to be critical. I've heard it said, if you're going to criticize, please bring solutions. But I say to you, if you're going to criticize, don't simply bring solutions, be one. Be one. None of our commissioner communities are perfect. But God is shaping them into his image. And those of you who aren't involved, I say to you, go with us. And those who are involved, I say, participate, don't pout, persevere, and cultivate. And remember how we started. What are your goals? Let's dream big for his name. And let's go together as a family of missionary servants sent as disciples who would make disciples among the nations. Amen.